Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
Today is a great day to see God change our lives for the better. Today is a great day for that. Now, some of you are like me. You love a new year. Where are my New Year's people? You like it. Oh, it's a small group. I feel very exposed. No, I like it. I like the clean slate. I like the new beginning. I like being able to turn the page and just sort of set my plans and set my priorities. I like it. Now, I do realize, especially here at the Valley, I don't know what the other locations were like. There's a lot of you who are like, hey, I've done a lot of New Year's and I find they don't work for me. Well, you might be like everybody else that would say, New Year's is not any better time to change than any other time. It's just another day on the calendar. Where are those people at? Well, there's not many of you. There's just a bunch of ordinary people that don't want to participate in the pastor's questions. Well, there are New Year's people, and there are I can change anytime people, so here's the good news. Whether you are an anytime person or a New Year's person, today is a great day to change your life for the better. Yes, and let me just couch it all in Christianity. The Bible tells us that there are new mercies every morning, every day. So today is an awesome day to go after God and say, God, what new could you do in my life? What transformation and breakthrough and joy and freedom and blessing do you want to pour into my life? Today is a great day to go after that. And I want to just be a little practical, a little inspirational for us today as we step into a new year. And I'm going to give us basically three things. We're going to talk about a little bit of inspiration, about how it's God's goal to make us better, to actually see us become a better version of ourselves. We're going to talk motivation. What are some things that kind of help push us along the way? And then we're going to get really practical and we're going to talk about activation. So let's just jump right in. I'm not going to be super long today because we're going to launch into this new year. But let's talk inspiration. And the first thing I really want to do, and this might be the most important thing and the greatest gift that I give you this morning, and God's really been just, this idea has been rattling around in my mind and my spirit, not just for the last week, but this has been an ongoing dialogue with the Lord and me for the better part of a year now. And that is this, that there is a version of me and there is a version of you that God is working on that is so much better than the wildest dreams you have for your life. Like, there is a dream that God has for my life and a version of you, Project Brent, Project You. There is a version that God has in mind that is so far beyond my wildest dreams of what life could be like and furthermore, what I could be like. We all have dreams, things that we'd like to see happen in our lives, versions of ourselves we'd like to be. A lot of us this time of year want to get fitter. Where are my fitter people at? Be honest. Yeah, Andy just said everyone's out there buying legumes right now. How many of you ate all your Christmas chocolate and candy on like New Year's Eve? Yeah, I did. Actually, I did it last night because we're starting our 21 days today. So I hammered the chocolates. Anyway, if I'm looking a little bloated today, there's a reason for that. We all want to get fitter. Maybe you want to get richer. Maybe you want to be kinder. Maybe you want to be more at peace or a better person or a better friend or a colleague or a worker. Maybe you want to be, you have a vision of being a person that makes a difference or has a real clear sense of purpose. Now, what are the goals and dreams that you have? And some of you are probably taking steps towards that this year. Maybe you got a gym membership. You're reading some self-help books. You're trying to figure out a way to make your business better. Those are all good and admirable goals. But here's the crazy thing, and this is the thing that a lot of Christians need to recover. The vision and version of human achievement and success according to the world is far too low a bar for the Christian to be reaching for. God has a vision of us in mind, a version of us in mind that is so lofty, it is really hard for us to actually wrap our heads around. He has a dream for our lives and a desire and a destiny for us. His goal is so far beyond what the world would describe as success. The world tells us, get better. Sure. improve, be healthier, be richer, be happier. These are good goals, but they fall infinitely short of what God's goal and God's vision for the life of his children actually should be. You know, the world puts value on, you know, hey, be an influencer, be a creative, be a CEO, maybe be a pro athlete, be a politician. All of this is far too low. And this is why. Because God has designed and destined you and me to be glorious. Like, I'm talking heavenly glorification. And this is a vision that you and I have got to start getting in our minds, that we have been designed for glory. And glory is not just a place. I know the old timers call heaven glory, that they've gone on to glory. But heaven is not glory. Heaven is glorious. And glory, the Bible talks about as weight, as value, as substantial beauty and radiant uncommon worth. That's what glory is. And the Bible tells us and tries to impress upon us as not just human beings, but more specifically as people who are in Christ, that our mandate and the vision God has for our lives is nothing less than glory. That you would be glorified. Just stop and imagine, because I know we're embodied, and we have a hard time in these mortal bodies thinking about ourselves as glorified. We have a hard time imagining ourselves even beyond the 70, 80 years, 90 years we might get in this life. But if the Bible is true, that we are actually eternal beings created in God's image to move from glory to ever-increasing glory. I want to just give you a little bit of Bible background on where I'm coming from with this. And the vision that we have of human beings, if you look in the Bible, it starts in Genesis. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:26 that God made man in his image. So that when God formed human beings, this is a very Judeo-Christian ethic. This is why we have societies now that say that people have inherent value. It's found right here in Genesis. That we don't just believe that humans are clumps of cells. We don't just believe that we showed up here randomly by some cosmic accident. But we have been created and designed by God as the last installment of his good creation. And unlike any other part of his creation, we as human beings have been formed and made in his image. That is insane. That is such a crazy thought. And it's like the Bible writer knew, it's like the Holy Spirit knew that we would need to be told this multiple times. Even in the text here, it's repeated 3 times that we're made in his image. He said, let us make mankind in his image so they may rule over all of creation. Verse 27, so God made mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Are you seeing it? This is triple emphasis on the fact that you and I as human beings have been made in the image of God. Now, let's just play that out for a minute. What does that mean to be made in his likeness? It does not mean that you and I are gods. It's not Christian ethics, but it does mean that we are made in God's image, that we are to reflect or bear his nature. So what does the Bible reveal about God's nature? Well, one, in some ways, you can't know that God's way beyond what we can understand. But in many ways, the Bible reveals some things we know to be true about what he's like. We're told that God is glory, that he's beauty, that he's brilliance, radiance, he's immortal, he's creative, powerful, righteous, holy. He's kind, he's compassionate, he's loving, he's the perfect father, he's the perfect friend, he's merciful, he's joyful, he's just, he's forgiving, he's selfless. And the Bible is emphatic that you and I were made in the likeness of that God. Just let that start to open the lid of a vision for who God is and subsequently what it means to be made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. Humans were created as a reflection, expression of God. Now, hang with me. Some of you are saying, yeah, but clearly we're not. Like, clearly we're not like God. Like, there's something amiss here. And yeah, the Bible does have an answer for that. It tells us in Genesis 3, it says it again in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there is this dissonance between God's glory and God's nature and who God is and humanity. And this is where the gospel comes in, and where Jesus enters the story. We just celebrated the incarnation, how God said, I'm not giving up on this human project. I'm going to enter into it myself and accomplish for them what they can't do for themselves. And so Jesus comes in as, hang with me, this is so important because it's going to help your vision of yourself. Jesus comes in as fully God and fully man, and he enters into his creation. Why? Not simply to forgive us from sins, although he does that, but it is unto a greater work, that is to reconcile human beings back to God's glorious standard, to actually bring us, to bridge the gap of sin and death, to actually on our behalf die our death so that we may enter into right relationship with God as his image bearers, restored back into God's original purpose and design. Now, I wish we had more time to dive into that. We don't today. But I just want to look at what Paul said in Ephesians. Look at how he says it in Ephesians chapter 1. He's like, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is something the Spirit of God has to do. Holy Spirit, do that in us today. Help us understand what we're missing. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him, there it is, at his right hand in the heavenly realm. So now there is a human and God, he's God and human, but there is a human at the right hand of God, that Jesus now has gone back into that right relationship with God that he destined in the first place. Are you tracking? So Jesus is now seated far above all rule and authority. Does that should bring back what he just said in Genesis chapter 1. I give you all these things that you will rule over all of creation. And now Jesus is seated in that place as the true and ultimate human. I give him every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And God, here it is, placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, this is so important, who fills everything in every way. What's this saying? It's saying that in some divine mystery, Jesus enters into the story and he becomes the focal point, the fulcrum, the point at which all things get to be filled with the fullness of God. That as you come to him, you are reconciled to God, and God begins to be able to pour out his life and glory on all the things that Jesus has dominion over. That's an incredible thing. So Paul goes on and he says this in chapter 2, look what he says. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You catching it? Like what it means to be human? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Think about that. He raised up Jesus so that he can show off his glory and grace through his image bearers. That is wild. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is something God has done for us. Now here's what I wanted to focus in on. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork. Other translations say workmanship. Other translations say his masterpiece. Where his project, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So just start imagining and expanding your imagination on what it means to be Christian. It's actually stepping in to a true humanity, and humanity are built to bear the image of God on the earth and to walk in the rule and dominion of God on the earth. No big deal. We are his workmanship, that he would be able to display his glory. Look at how Paul, like this, just it just absolutely staggers me. I hope this blows your mind like it does for me. He says in verse 14 of chapter 3, for this reason. So there, because Jesus has accomplished this and he's seated us with him in heavenly places, he's given us every spiritual blessing. Therefore, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, that the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Here's what I want you to underline in your Bible. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let that just burst your mind for a minute. The design and the destiny of humanity who have been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus, that he would be all in all. He wants to fill the cosmos with himself, starting with us, that we would be filled to all the fullness of God. What does that mean? It means that you and I would be filled to the brim with all the God stuff. Wild. Y'all, I don't feel like Jesus a lot of the time, do you? And yet that is your destiny in him. That you and I would be, think about him. He was perfectly wise, perfectly loving, perfectly able. He always did the will of the Father. He walked in complete peace and joy and purpose and passion. He was the best friend. And he was the best brother. And he was the best father and the best teacher. And he walked in power. He knew God intimately. He did no wrong. He lived life perfectly. We even got glimpses of him and ultimately who he is in the transfiguration. And you start to see the glory of God. It said when they saw Jesus transfigured, they couldn't even look at him. And he's saying here, Paul is saying, I want to fill you like that. Now, why am I focusing on this for a New Year's message? Because we have to raise the bar of our imagination and our expectation on who we believe we are in Christ Jesus. We have to raise the bar on the vision of ourselves in Christ, and we have to stop settling for earthly human standards of glory. It would be a tragedy if you ended your life just as a multimillionaire CEO entrepreneur. It would be a tragedy if you ended your life with a million followers on Instagram, but did not get filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. It would be a tragedy if you were the president of the United States, or you, whatever dream you have, the highest goals, you were the greatest basketball player that ever lived, or whatever your fantasies and your dreams are, that falls so far short of this vision of being filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. But that is what Jesus has accomplished for all human beings, that when we come to him, we can be filled with glory. And so that becomes the goal of my life. Is that, you know what? I want to be a great dad. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great pastor. I want to do well with my finances. I want to do well with friendships. I want to do well in men's league basketball. All those things. That's great. But the ultimate goal of my life is that I want God to fill me to the full measure of all the fullness of God, that I would radiate his glory. We were made for glory. We were made for wisdom and strength and peace and joy. We were made with distinction in the image of God that we may know him. We were bought by the blood of Jesus and brought to life in him and ransomed to be returned into right relationship with the Almighty, where we will live with him and for him forever, and we will get new bodies, and we will go from glory to glory to ever-increasing glory. We will be filled to all the fullness of God. That is your destiny. So I say that to say you need to get a bigger vision of your life if your vision is just some earthly standard of success. Like, this is way bigger than that. Filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. You ask, is it possible that people are so unfulfilled because they're trying to fill themselves with something less than the full measure of all the fullness of God? I suspect so. You know, St. Augustine said, God is, the heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. You know, Solomon said that God has set eternity in the hearts of men, that you are meant to be filled with glory. Don't settle for Facebook likes. Don't settle for a little money. It's just money. Glory is the goal. Glorification, immortality, holiness, transformation, transfiguration, radiation. I don't know if that's true, but like, you know what I'm saying. Like, just, it's time for the people of God to get a higher vision in our minds, to aim higher. Today is a great day to take a step towards being filled to all the fullness of God. Can I get an amen? So let's make that our goal. What's your goal for 2026? Hey, I'm going to start a business. Oh, that's good for you. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Awesome. What are you going to do, Brent? I'm going to be filled to all the fullness of God. That's my goal. That's my goal. Are you going to achieve it this year? Probably not. God's going to be working on me from glory to glory to glory, but I'm taking a step towards being filled with all the fullness to the full measure of God. That's my goal. What's your goal? It's to be filled. And my goal, the goal for God over King's Church, yeah, we're going to launch Bridgewater. We're going to see God grow us in number. Awesome. We're going to see breakthroughs. But ultimately, what's he doing? He's the head of the church. He's going to fill King's Church. His desire is to fill us to the full measure of all the glory of God. That's what we're after. Are you inspired? All right, here's a little motivation. A little motivation for us. How do we dig in and like... Because I know if you're like me, you can know the good thing you want to do. And then, you know what? Sometimes you still don't do it, right? That would be awesome to be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God, but Cheetos, right? Or whatever. I have noticed sometimes knowing the thing you should do isn't enough, and we often need a push. And I've found in my life, one of the great ways that God pushes me forward and motivates me and causes me to keep taking another step is he'll bring voices and helpers and aid and coaches into my life. I've noticed this just even in my normal, like not just even outside of what God is doing. I've noticed like it's effective in sports. You know, sometimes I've needed a gentle, guiding, coaching voice. Other times I've needed the coach that just like kicks me in the butt and says, come on, get out there. You can do that. When I'm lagging in fitness, sometimes I need to just go on YouTube and find some jack guy to yell at me for 10 minutes. Right? Anybody do that? I do. I'm just like, oh, I don't want to eat right. And I just go find somebody. And I'm like, okay, you can do it. But I've noticed this in my faith especially, that it's required other helping hands, other voices, other coaches, companions, colleagues. I've had mentors. I've had people call me up, call me out, push me on. I've had people, and I'm thankful for the body of Christ who believed in me when I don't believe in myself. I've had people who are around me. I have people around me that can call me on my crap, correct me, course correct, care for me, dust me off when I fail. How many of you know, like this following Jesus thing and this workmanship project, he often uses other people to help accomplish his purposes in our lives. This Christianity thing is a group project. It's a class project. Right? And I want to highlight for you just a couple. Yes, you have your brothers and sisters here, We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to highlight just a couple of agents or coaches or helps that are helping you right now, and you need to lean in on this. Number one, the first person that is working with you and for you to motivate you and push you and help you is the Spirit of God. Here's such good news. As you start 2026 and your goal is to be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God, great news, we aren't alone in this. And in fact, we aren't the primary agents unto this masterpiece of glorification. Remember, we are God's project. Paul says in Philippians, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Watch this. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What's that saying? He's saying that God is working. God is at work in you. That he hasn't abandoned you. This is why Paul later on, he says in chapter 4 of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's why Peter said that God's divine power gives us everything we need to live a godly life. That God has not given us the model in Jesus, but not the means to be like him. The Spirit of God actually enables us to take steps towards glorification and sanctification. It's his work in us. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is not your moral efforts to white knuckle a better life. Sanctification is what God does in us to make us like his son. Amen. And so he is working with us. Here's the point. You have the best life coach, the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth, the paraclete, the comforter, the guide. He's shepherding us and shaping us and empowering us and providing for us when we need it. Sometimes when I get overwhelmed, I need to remind myself that I am God's workmanship and he is going to have his way in my life. You know, some of you look back on 25, you're like, I failed a lot. Here's the good news. You're God's project and he is not a quitter. And he will, like Paul said, accomplish what he sets out to accomplish. I love this at the end of his letter to the Thessalonians. This is like the last thing he says to the Thessalonian church. It says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So you have God on your side. That's a pretty good team. You have the Spirit of God helping you in your weakness. There's one more factor, or one more, like, and I've just been thinking about this. There's one more group of coaches or helps, and it's this. It's the saints. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. The saints are believers who have gone on before us and stepped into glorification. And there are, and you need to remember this as a believer, there are multitudes of people who have been radically transformed by the grace and goodness and steady hand of our God, who are now in glory, and they are experiencing the full measure of all the fullness of God. And they call us forth. Look what the writer of Hebrews says. Some of you are like, this is getting a little weird, Brent. No, it's not. This is right out of the Bible. Look at this. Hebrews 12, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the therefore is there because in chapter 11, he just listed off like dozens of faithful men and women who followed God, who gave God their lives. And so he hinges that and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that we've seen it modeled, that we've seen that it can be done, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance that the Lord has marked out for us. What's he saying? He's saying that these lives of the saints who are alive right now, by the way, like they're very much alive. You know, the Catholics have this way more, you know, worked out than we do, and maybe there's some reason for that. I don't want to get into that today. But the saints are very much alive. There's even sense in the Bible that like you get this idea that they're worshiping and they're willing the will of God on the earth. Like you read Revelation chapter 4, like or chapter 6, like that they're wanting God to work out his will in the earth. Why do I say this? Because I find it helpful to think that I have multitudes of brothers and sisters that ran their race well. And for all the failures in life and the people that fail and the ways that we fail, it's nice to see that it can be done. Isn't it? It's nice to see that as we get thinking about starting 2026. Like it gives us this perspective. I listened to a podcast this week. I'm a big podcast guy. And it was a guy named Chris Williamson talking about like starting the new year right. And one of the things he said is like, there's this question I like to ask myself. And it gives me perspective. He says, you know, if my life were a movie, what would the audience be screaming at the screen telling me to do or not do? Like, what would just be so obvious to the people watching my life unfold that they'd be saying? And I thought that was great for like, you know, worldly insight and wisdom. But I got thinking about this in relationship to the saints and thinking, what would they be saying to my life as I'm trying to run the race marked out for me? What would the saints be saying to me to keep going, to stop doing, to start doing? What would be painfully obvious to the saints as they watch my life unfold? What would they say to you? It can be done. You can do it. Keep going. Try again. Maybe for some of you that are walking through just deep, dark seasons of sacrifice and burdens, I think they'd be saying, it'll be worth it. Give Jesus everything. Don't hold back. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Don't value things that are fleeting. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You cannot imagine what's in store for you. Today, we have a great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us that are like, I like to think of it, I'm a sports guy, I like to think of it like they're in the stands, like, hey, you guys, it's your turn, come on, let's go. Right? I was watching my son's basketball team yesterday, and the parent, they were getting beat, and the parents had to rise up. Like, come on, boys, you can do it. Right? I think the saints are in heaven right now, over your life, just saying, come on, you got this. God's with you. The best is yet to come. I know you stumbled a couple times last year, but look, you can get back up. You can do this. The saints, they push us and they call us forward. Today's a great day to change our lives. Amen? So, really quick, how do we step into it? How do we step into it? What does it look like to step toward a greater vision of a greater version of ourselves? Well, it's hard, but it's not complicated. The key is this: seek God first. Just seek God first. Like if you can put that as a banner over your life, seek God first. Jesus gave us this commandment. It was in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking about like the life of the kingdom. And then he goes in and he talks about all these things that we worry about and we fix our eyes on. Talks about worrying about what we'll eat or drink or wear or what will happen to us and how we pursue these things to try to control these things. But then he goes on, he says, you're more valuable than even birds, and God looks after them. And he says this, I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these wildflowers in the field. But if God so clothes the grass with the grass of the field, which is today alive and thrown out tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. So that's godly. It's not godly minded. It's not heavenly minded. And God knows what you need and that you need them all. But here's the key, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. What's he saying? He's saying if you prioritize the kingdom, it brings heavenly alignment in your life, and God will take care of you. Why? Because after all, you're his project. He knows what you need just when you need it. And if you can seek him first, everything that you're tempted to worry about and obsess about and run after, God will give you those things anyway. Your job is to seek him first. So what does it look like? What is getting activated in 2026 look like? How do we create a better pathway for success? Let's talk strategy really quick. A lot of the time, we don't fail because our goals aren't clear. We fail because our strategy to accomplish that goal is not adequate to accomplish it. Said that so bad. James Clear said, we don't rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. So if your system is not in place to accomplish the goal of being filled to all the full measure of all the fullness of God, then you're going to fall. It's not going to get accomplished right. So what is a game plan of seeking him first look like? What is that system? What does a seek first the kingdom system look like in your life? Well, I got a couple like pieces of advice for you. First, establish, or for some of you, reestablish kingdom patterns and priorities. What do I need to start doing? What does it look like for me in my day-to-day to seek first the kingdom? What do I need to be consistent in? Here's some things that I try to live by. I would just give you this advice. Maybe I could be your coach. Daily time in scripture and prayer. You know, like I got taught a song as a six-year-old kid. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. It's very simple. Just, well, some of you are like, well, I read my Bible and I didn't get anything out of it. Read your Bible every day. Some days, the win is just the devotion of going to the Word. Some days, the Lord will rock your world. It's up to him when and how he does that. You just make a pattern of daily time in the Word. Read your Bible. And there's literally no excuse to not read your Bible. I don't have a Bible. Do you have a phone? You have every Bible. Every Bible ever on your phone. They're all there. Even bad ones. I don't get into that today. Daily time in scripture and prayer. Here's another pro tip. Embed your life in the life of the church. Sometimes we don't realize the value of what the body of Christ and being part of the life of the kingdom in the church is doing until we leave it. Anybody? Anybody just honest enough to be here today say, hey, you know what? I made the mistake of going through a couple years where I just drifted off of my church like involvement and it did not pay off. Would anybody just testify to that? Good. There's some honest people here. Good. Yeah. So embed your life. So what does that look like? Attend every week or most weeks. Like, do not forsake the gathering together, the Bible says. Do life together. Who are your people? At a church our size, now we have some smaller congregations, some of our sites are smaller than at the Valley, but at a church our size, there's too many people to be your people. You go to King's Church, but who are your people? You need some brothers and sisters. Volunteer and serve. Get involved. Give. Seek to go deeper. Take a course. Get in a home church. Go do Alpha if you've never done it. Join King's Academy. We have all kinds of resources and ways for you to integrate your life deeper into the body of Christ. So embed your life in the church and just prioritize health. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean by health? I mean, think about your body and particularly the gates that are in your body. Specifically, what goes into your mouth, what goes in your ears, and what goes in your eyes. Like, these are gates. And I would encourage you, especially as we start this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I would encourage you to think about, am I letting healthy things go into my eyes? Am I seeing things that are edifying or destructive? Is what I'm listening to, is it building me up or is it tearing down? Is what I'm eating good for my body? Ask yourself those questions. And I'm telling you, like, Paul was not just trying to be eloquent about your body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Like, you and I, if we're going to be filled to all the fullness of God, what's he going to do that in? My body and my mind and my heart and my soul. He's going to fill me. So we've got to actually clean the junk out sometimes. Amen? Create space. And so that's ultimately what we're trying to do with our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm going to give everybody permission. I'm wrapping up. I'm going to give everybody permission to get your phone out. Go ahead and go to, if you can, I know at the Valley we've got some anti-cellular coverage dome over this place, so it might be hard for you. I might have to do this later. But if you're able, go to kingschurch.cc and click on the 21-day fast link. And it should bring you to where you have some options for how you're going to be able to seek God first this year. There are a variety of things that are going to be happening. Worship times, prayer rooms, those are going to be happening at our locations. But there are things that you can do personally to sort of reset your life over the next 21 days. That's what this next 21 days is all about. It's just sort of reestablishing God in his rightful place. As this year begins, God, you first. I'm seeking you first. And so there's a variety of ways you can do that. There is a 21-day fast guide. I would encourage you to print out. It's up there in the top left. And in it, it's incredible. Pastor Greg needs a lot of credit for this. There are daily devotionals, and it's really cool if we're all doing it, that we're kind of walking together in this. So there's a 21-day fast guide for your daily devotional time. I put together a fresh start guide, which is just a way, and you can download that as well on the website. It's just a way, and I actually filled it out again this year, where every year I just sort of ask a few specific and leading questions to God, and he helps me sort of align my life. It's about alignment as I step into a new year. And it gives him an opportunity to speak into how I'm directing or how my life is being directed. So I'd encourage you to take the fresh start steps. Some of you might want to jump on the Bible in 1 year. You're asking, how can I read my Bible? What does that look like? There are groups of people doing the Bible in 1 year plan. There's all kinds of things that you can do. But today, we're going to launch into 21 days of prayer and fasting. What is that for some of you who are new? We've been doing this for the better part of a decade now. And I can testify, this rhythm has changed my life. And it has blessed our church, y'all. And sometimes there are things that happen, breakthroughs that happen in our church or in my life the rest of the year, where the Lord will prompt and speak to me and say, that actually was won in the 21 days of prayer and fasting. You're just seeing the results now. It's massive what happens. So beginning, I guess effective today, tomorrow, I guess Monday through the next Sunday, or through Sunday in 3 weeks, we are going to jump into a fast. What is fasting? Fasting is voluntary window of self-denial. And you might be denying yourself, you're likely denying yourself good things in order to make space for God's presence in your life. It's a deliberate and sacrificial effort to seek him first. So how do I fast? It's actually not about doing, it's about don'ting. Fasting is not so much about what you do, it's about what you don't. It's about actually denying yourself something. What do you fast? Well, food. It works great when it's actual food, honestly. There's something, I don't know why, but something that just gets triggered in us when we deny our bodies some things that we're used to getting nourishment from. That works really good. Doesn't have to be a liquid fast. I mean, you can do a Daniel fast, which is like all vegetables. I'm doing a carnivore fast, just meat. Anybody want to do it? No, you can do whatever the Lord guides you in. You just have to deny yourself something that you look to, I think is the key. Something you look to for comfort, for soothing. Maybe as a crutch in your life. Maybe there's something like, I don't know if I can do without that. Like if I'm ultra cranky next Sunday, it's because I'm giving up caffeine. Not today. You're good. We're good. We're good. Right? So like there's just some stuff. And then you ask the Lord. So for me, like I have some things that I'm giving to the Lord as a sacrifice to say, God, I want more of you. So yours can look different. So ask God, what does it look like for me? A huge one for me. And I'm going to invite a bunch of you to jump in. We're going to be doing this as a church. A huge one for me is what I listen to and what I watch. So I am going dark on social media for 21 days. I'm going dark on the news. You're like, what if Venezuela and U.S. go into war? I'm like, yeah, let me know. I am giving this sacrificially, and I want to offer God something that costs me nothing, honestly. And so I want to invite some of you. This would be hard for some of you because your lives are so integrated into social media, but I dare you to practice a digital fast with me, with our church. Our church operationally is going to be doing it. So we are shutting down. We're going dark on social media for the next 3 weeks. For those of you who watch online, we will still broadcast our services on YouTube, but we're not going to be doing social media like we normally do. I'm just going to do it as a fast and see what God does because of it. And I really want to press that on some of you. I would ask you to ask the Lord, would you have me give up social media, give up digital media maybe for the next 3 weeks? Just get reintegrated into being human. I think we're a little bit too much cyborg. And we need to step back once in a while and remind ourselves I'm a human created in the image of God, not in the image of Facebook or Instagram algorithms. You know, they're trying to create us in its image, right? All right, I'm going to stop ranting. You can jump in on the digital fast. I want to invite you at all of our locations to stand. I want to do something as we end. I want to pray a prayer of consecration and then blessing as we launch into these 21 days. If you're with maybe your family, this would be a great time to maybe grab hands, huddle up. If you're here as an individual, maybe just open your hands up. But let's first pray and offer God this year. Let's pray together all of our locations. So Father, we come to you and hear us as we seek you first. We want you. We want you to fill us to the full measure of all the fullness of God. We don't want to miss anything that Jesus died to give us. Whew. And so, Father, we offer you these 3 weeks. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, you give them wisdom as to in what ways that they need to fast. And God, we give you this window of fasting and we invite you into it. We ask, God, that you be pleased by it. And God, we pray that you would refresh and renew us as we consecrate ourselves to you. We ask for your cleansing to come. We ask for your filling to come. Would you renew us, God? We pray the prayer of David, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Cast me not away from your presence, Lord. We invite you into our lives. And so, Father, over this family of believers, Lord, that you've called me to, God, I pray your blessing over every family and every household in King's Church this year, God. I pray that you would bless them, Father. I pray that your presence would be manifested in every home, every family. God, I pray over my single brothers and sisters, Lord. May they know you intimately this year. May they know your goodness, Father. Lord, I pray the priestly blessing over King's Church. And I ask, oh God, may the grace, God, would just be poured out over us, Lord. I pray, God, would you, Father, would you shine upon us? Would you turn your countenance towards us? Would you give us peace? I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.